Grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this service of worship at Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're glad you're here. This is the morning where we approach the Bethlehem stable once again and prepare for Jesus' birth into our world. Couple things going on in the life of the congregation I want you to make sure you know about. Our Christmas Eve worship will be this Saturday. Is this Saturday Christmas Eve? This Saturday at 8 o'clock, so you can eat early or eat late and be with family and then be with church family for this most important time of the church year. That's Saturday at 8 o'clock. And then Christmas morning, this coming Sunday, 10:30 worship. You can eat beforehand or eat early or eat brunch afterward, but we will be in Fellowship Hall and we will be having a wonderful time of Christmas sharing and treats, and hope you will be there with us. And I'm really looking forward to this time together on Christmas morning, beyond the treats. Yeah, I think we will have a good time together. Thank you to all who shared and participated and contributed last year for our Christmas alternative market. We raised over $1,200 for the various mission partners that we have in our community and around the world. So that was a wonderful thing, and thank you to the Peace and Justice Committee for organizing that. And then the session of our church does meet this week on Wednesday online at 7 o'clock. As we come to a time of prayer, I need to let you know that sorrow has come into the life of our congregation since last we met. Bonnie Reeves died on Monday at age 100. But it was a very peaceful passing, and we want to keep Barbara, her daughter, and her family there in our prayers. They are making arrangements for a memorial, which will probably be after the holidays, but we want to keep all of Bonnie's family in our prayers. Jane Gregory, I believe, would like prayers for her friend Roy Garbarino, who is having cancer surgery again on Tuesday this week. We want to keep Cindy Grombach in our prayers. Her mother, Lucille, who we have prayed for, died on Wednesday this week. So we want to keep Cindy and her family in Southern California in our prayers. Kathy Duncan's neighbor, Anne, who has worshiped with us several times recently, is very sick with COVID. So we want to keep Anne, who's our neighbor, in our prayers. And I would ask for your prayers for my mother, Norma, who is in the hospital in Columbus, Ohio this morning with a blood clot in her leg. So they're going to talk to the doctor tomorrow and see what we need to do. But if you would keep Norma in your prayers, I would appreciate it. Let's now continue with our worship service as we sing together hymn number 31, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Oh, sorry, Lee. We do the lighting of the candle first. How'd that happen?
I just followed directions around here.
We switched that around. Yeah, light the candle of love, or joy. Joy.
It's supposed to be joy.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. This is the culmination of years of waiting.
We have lit the candle of hope, which gives us light in our darkness. We have lit the candle of peace, and we dare to hope for reconciliation in our families and in our world. We have lit the candle of love because God so loved the world that God's only Son came to live among us, to know us and to love us.
We have lit the candle of hope, of peace, of love, and in their glow we feel the warmth and deep and quiet joy. And so today, to complete the circle, we light the candle of joy. Joy to the world. The Savior
resides.
Savior reigns. Let us sing to the glory of God, and let us rejoice in God's love so graciously offered in obedience, and heaven and nature will sing.
Now we sing.
This morning, the Minute for Mission is about the Christmas Joy Offering, and it's talking about how the Christmas Joy Offering helps Manal students to overcome walls. Samuel Polanco is no stranger to the power of walls. Samuel, a 2022 graduate of the Manal School, a Presbyterian Church USA-related grade 6 to 12 college preparatory school in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has known and seen walls, both literal and figurative, that separated him and others throughout his life. Now he credits his experience at Manal as being instrumental in breaking down life's many barriers. His education at Manaw was made possible in part by gifts to the PCUSA's Christmas Joy offering, which helps provide scholarships to students. A Presbyterian tradition since the 1930s, the annual offering distributes gifts equally to the assistance program of the Board of Pensions and to Presbyterian-related schools and colleges equipping communities of color. Manal's student body is currently represented by 21 different countries. I think earlier I said 121 countries. It's not 121. 21. That's still a lot. When I first came to Manal, I was able to explore the ideas I wanted to explore, learn what I wanted to learn, and just be myself. And that's what Manal has done for all of us. We can just be ourselves here, Samuel said. This past April, the 35 members of the class of 2022, including Samuel, became student volunteers through Frontera de Cristo, a Presbyterian border ministry whose mission is to build relationships and understanding across borders. The students spent 5 days on the U.S.-Mexico border for the school's traditional mission week. John Sittler, who teaches upper school religious studies at Manal, praised Samuel and his friends, Michael Hedenberg and Abby Nyase, as among their class's top leaders. They were all profoundly moved by what they saw and heard during mission week, especially walking the migrant trail to the border wall. It may sound like a cliche, but one thing the students got out of the experience of seeing this scar on the earth is that the most dangerous walls are the walls in our mind. That was from John Sittler. Manal teaches breaking down walls toward our common humanity, to be like Jesus, who broke down dividing walls and welcomed everyone. John continued, "We teach that faith is to be lived out in the world, because so many young people today see the church as building walls to isolate and separate. We at Manal are all about opening doors to the richness of God's creation." Abby said, "To support Manal is to support kids who are going to be the future leaders of our country. Our gifts to the Christmas Joy offering take down walls, break barriers, and build potential and future leaders of the church. Please give what you can, for when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot." Thank you.
In prophecy, the little town of Bethlehem was foretold as a wondrous city where the Savior would be born. We have heard the words of Isaiah, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him."
Gabriel was sent from God to Galilee to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said,
"Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
And then, after centuries of waiting, there came a holy night on which the prophecy was gloriously fulfilled. Many have written of this night, and generations upon generations have continued to revere the humble city of David. Those who write tell the story of angels who sang, and shepherds who watched, and kings who came to adore.
Thank you.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
Many people, of course, were traveling along the road with Mary and Joseph. They moved forward through the gates and into the hubbub of Bethlehem just beyond. The inn stood at the edge of a village, a sprawling, moss-grown structure with a large courtyard in front. The yard was crowded with people unloading baggage, tethering their beasts, or leading them through the doorway that led to the stable behind the inn.
From the back came the smell of smoke and roasting meat, where dinner was being prepared. Joseph had worried that they might have trouble finding a place to stay, and now, with all the crowds, he could see that his worst fears had come true. The innkeeper was busy serving people and had no time for Joseph's appeal.
I'm sorry, we're full up, haven't an inch to lay a cat in, nor a mouse. You'll have to do as the others, find yourselves a friendly yard to sleep in, or go back outside and sleep in the fields.
But we can't. My wife is in labor. She is about to bear a child. You must give us shelter, at least for a few hours.
I can't. Can't you see for yourselves? There's simply no room. I'm sorry, sir, but I can't perform miracles.
Miracles, Joseph thought. Let the Lord produce one now.
Please, you must help us.
Well, there is a stable. It's full of creatures and people already, but if you don't mind the stink and the noise...
Ooh, Joseph's heart sank.
Is there nothing else? My wife must have some privacy.
The innkeeper went back to work. But as Joseph turned to leave, the innkeeper was suddenly at his side. Wait! There are some caves towards the back where we store things and stable a few animals when we're crowded. It's quieter there and warm. You'd be alone.
Joseph thanked her, but Joseph was heartsick as he hurried back to tell Mary. A stable in a cave. But she was in the grip of such pain when he returned that there was no time for apologizing. He led their donkey behind the inn and finally found what seemed to be a vacant stall. With his hands shaking, he tethered the donkey and peered into the darkness. The place was indeed empty, with one lone manger and much clean straw. Joseph rolled up his sleeves, arranged some of the straw, and threw down his cloak. And then he reached for Mary and worked to make her comfortable.
From the Gospel according to Luke, in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them,
"Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall come to all the earth. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
It was a moonless night on the Judean hillside. The last night, the last lights of the village below had been extinguished. The stars hung large and luminous in the blue-black velvet of the skies. A small fire of sticks fed by handfuls of dry grass gave them warmth and outline to the watching shepherds. Nearby, the flock had been sleeping for several hours. One shepherd circled the resting sheep, pausing now and then to peer into the darkness beyond. In the calm of the night, the sheep began to stir restlessly, and the shepherd spoke to his friends.
"The sheep must be dreaming. That must be what is making them restless."
"I've seen no wild animals approach."
"Oh, they're dreaming all right. That old sheep is dreaming that she's young again."
"And the dog just woke himself up running in his sleep. He sniffed the air, and then he lay back down."
"Let's bring more sticks for the fire. The lamb is trembling with the chill of the night."
The young shepherd found a few sticks and added them to the fire. As the fire blazed, it seemed to light up the whole sky. Their nightly fire had never been so bright and so white and so blinding. Suddenly, the shepherds were startled to see a young figure dressed in white standing in the light.
Thank you.
The light was so bright that the shepherds drew closer together for protection. And then the shining figure spoke.
Don't be afraid. I will not harm you or your sheep. I come with good news for you. For to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
The shepherds waited silently. They could not have spoken if they had wanted to. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased.
The shining angels were gone as quickly as they had appeared, and the shepherds were left with only the light of their fire. Although one star in the sky was shining so brightly.
Finally, the shepherds were able to find their voices.
Let's go to Bethlehem and find out for ourselves, and we'll take the little lamb with us.
Leave the old dog with me. He's too old to hurry, but we can still guard the sheep.
And so the shepherds gathered up their packs and the little lamb and hurried down the hillside into Bethlehem.
Far to the east of Bethlehem, in another country with another culture, there was a fine palace with rich, colorful paintings on the ceilings and beautiful tiled mosaics on the floors. In that palace lived three wise men. One interpreted people's dreams, another practiced the ancient art of medicine, and the third studied the heavens and the stars and looked for the signs and wonders that they revealed.
The palace was full of people. Some had come bringing their dreams and would sit with the first wise one, telling what went through their heads in the night. This wise man had a very important job because people in those days believed fervently in what their dreams could tell them. The wise one listened to the dreams and then helped the people decide which livestock to sell, when to plant their crops, which person to marry.
Other people had come to the palace to visit the learned wise men who practiced medicine. Some were old and crooked, and the wise healer could ease their aches and pains. Women brought their babies and had their fevers cooled. This wise man knew much about plants and herbs and spirits and soothing oils and did much to help the people have a better life.
The third learned seer spent most of the time at the top of the palace in a little room surrounded by windows, frequently calling on the healer to soothe cramped muscles because of all the time spent in an awkward position, neck craned, scanning the heavens. The lofty little room was full of charts and diagrams, and this wise man was convinced of knowing much about God, what he'd planned for his people, because it was there to be read in the stars.
One afternoon, the wise medicine practitioner was interrupted by the stargazer.
Oh my, oh my. Come quickly to the tower. I have made a most amazing discovery.
Not now. The line of people who are here to see me reaches all the way to the gate. I couldn't possibly come now. Go now. I must work.
Yes. All right. But tonight, you must come to the tower.
I will. I will go now.
Next, the stargazer ran to tell the dream reader about the amazing discovery. But since the king had called for interpretation of a dream, the stargazer did not receive a warm welcome there either. And leaving word for the reader of dreams to come to the tower that night, so it came to pass that in the dark of night, far, far away from Bethlehem, three very wise men gathered in a room at the top of a palace to gaze at the stars and to argue over charts.
There was much loud talk in that room that night and much silent staring into the heavens. And if you could have seen the windows, you would have seen fingers wagging, heads shaking and nodding, three figures pacing about until the wee hours of the morning.
And if you had been in that tower room, you would have heard the reader of the dreams finally say,
"All right then, we go, but you'd better be right."
And you would have heard the wise healer say,
"And if you are right, then we must hurry. There is no time to lose."
And you would have heard a very relieved and very excited stargazer say,
"Good, we'll meet at the gate tonight. Pack as little as possible, but we can't go empty-handed. If this child really is the Messiah, we must have gifts to offer. Bring something suitable."
And so it was that three learned and wise royals set forth from the east, wearing their finest robes of silk and linen, bearing gifts, and following the brightest star that they had ever seen.
Thank you.
We now have an opportunity to give gifts of our own to the Christ child. As the ushers come forward, we will dedicate our Christmas joy offering and bring our tithes, our pledges, and our offerings for the day. Let us pray together. Oh, come, let us adore you, O Lord. We want in our hearts to give you all praise and honor, and yet in this world of confusion and distraction, it is a hard path. We praise you for creating this good and beautiful world. Help us take our place and prepare room for Christ in our hearts. We pray for the people of Ukraine today who are singing in shelters, shivering in their homes, grieving in their streets as Russian rockets continue to rain down. Put an end to it, O Lord. With our friend the Pope, we pray, bring us peace. We pray for the emerging economies of Africa, that they would find righteous and viable inroads to the world economy. And we pray for the politicians of our own country, that they would find righteous and viable solutions to the problems of gun violence, homelessness, overwhelming immigration, and irresistible addictions. O God, let the bells of Christmas sound out a new day of hope and peace. In this day, O Lord, let us dedicate ourselves anew to your service and to your realm of glory. We pray for those folks we know who are suffering today, particularly Barbara and Bonnie's family, Roy, Anne, Lucille's family, Norma. We pray that we would be dedicated to a rebirth of Christ's love in our families, in our church, and in our individual lives. Let these offerings today be a sign of lives dedicated to your glory, in the infancy of Jesus, in the heavenly host of angels, in the promise of new life in the world to come. Let the bells of Christmas ring out a rebirth of joy, and let the Star of Bethlehem guide us into the light of your Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that led shepherds and kings into your presence, that same Spirit that guided and upheld our parents and our ancestors, that same Spirit that will get us through this season. Bless us through the silent night and into the morning of promise. Let Christ be in our lives this Christmas and always. Amen.
At last, the three wise travelers reached Jerusalem. They went to Herod, the king, and asked,
"Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Herod had much to calculate.
"A new king who commands a great star in the east? What can this mean for me?"
When Herod heard the news, he was greatly troubled. For he, Herod, was king. Was this a threat to his throne? Something must be done. Herod consulted with his strategists and the Pharisees, and then he sent for the foreign travelers and said,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him."
And so the Magi continued on to Bethlehem, and there they found the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
That night, the first wise man was warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And being a great believer and interpreter of dreams, he warned the others. And they all departed to their country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him."
And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod.
It is a most amazing story, and the child that was born in Bethlehem that night was a most amazing person.
All that they said of him was true. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.
Receive her King.
Thanks to the choirs and all the folks who made our narration interpretation possible this morning. And now go out into the world. You are God's Advent people. With you, you bring the gifts of hope and peace, love and joy into a world aching to share those gifts. And so expect the blessings of Advent to fill your life and awareness. Let the story of Christmas ring in your hearts, and let the light of God's power shine forth in all you say and do. And let the Holy Spirit of love guide you throughout this season and always. Amen.